Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Amen. Can we thank the worship team and our AV crew? Thank you for all the hours you guys put in. Much appreciated. My spirit's already refreshed. Well, tonight, Pastor Philip Steele will be bringing the word to us. And just before he does, I consider him a friend and been here on staff for many years, longer than me, obviously. I've only been here 7 years. But I wanted to just mention a little bit of what Philip does, and I've actually asked him to take a brief moment just before he opens the word up to describe a little bit more of one area of his responsibilities. Locally, Philip oversees all of the missions-related things that go on through Bethel. So 10 days trips that go on out of Bethel, people that are involved in going off on missions trips. Pastor Philip helps oversee all of those different things. He's also been very involved in the history of the church and reaching out to our Latino community because of his fluency in the language, and he served as a missionary in Latin America before. So if you're ever interested in getting more connected, more plugged in locally in terms of reaching internationals here within the greater Nashville area, or you're interested in ever engaging in, participating in missions work that goes on beyond Bethel's borders, if you will, to other nations, Pastor Philip is the guy to talk to. The one other thing that he does locally, too, is that he is the primary person who oversees people who do internships at Bethel. So we have a number of people that do internships that's typically in conjunction with Every Nation, which, of course, is our parent global ministry that we're a part of. The other area, and this is where I'm going to pass the baton to Pastor Philip to tell you more about, is that he is actually the director, the leader of what we call a regional leadership team. And so what that means is that around the world, every nation helps provide spiritual oversight for the churches that exist, as well as the church planting endeavors that go on in different regions of the world. And one of those regions is Latin America, which of course includes everything south of the border here in this part of the hemisphere. And Pastor Philip is the leader, actually, of the team of people that are responsible for that spiritual oversight throughout all of Latin America. So it's a huge responsibility. He's overseas multiple times every year for extended periods because he's down there working in Latin America, helping foster the health of the churches and the leaders and continuing to push them in a good way to expand and to increase and to multiply. So can we give a warm welcome to Pastor Philip?
Thank you. I'm going to try to do it without a pulpit. I'm trusting our AV guys in the back. Also want to greet everybody online. Everything that Bruce said is true. I do have to respect and honor him because he is 6 months older in the Lord than I am. He got saved in May. I got saved in October, my freshman year at the University of Minnesota. And so we were formerly part of an earlier movement of churches that we were involved in as well. And I do a lot of work in Latin America. My wife, my beautiful wife, is here. She's from Honduras. We lived in Costa Rica for 12 years. Our three children, one is here with her husband, and two are upstairs. We're all born in Costa Rica. And so we do a lot of things in Latin America, just as here, you know, and some of you maybe participated or have heard about the Every Nation Student Conference that we had here at the end of February. And we're doing six more in Latin America this year. We had one in the city of Fusagasugá for Colombia. Our pastors in Colombia, the pastors had a group of about 12 people, 12 students during that time. They were believing to get 50 to come to their student conference. Their students were believing to have 150. In Colombia, we had over 200. You know, amongst the three churches that we have in Colombia, our pastor, Rice Brooks, is in Bogota, Colombia. As we speak, he'll be coming back on Friday, Lord willing, unless he gets, you know, extended down there, which he tends to do once in a while. But our campus ministry in Colombia and FUSA, as well as in the cities of Ibagué and Bogota, are growing. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing student conferences in Santo Domingo, La República Dominicana, the Dominican Republic. I was telling Bruce, I was kind of joking, but, you know, I don't get to preach in English very much. English is my first language, but I've preached in Spanish so much, so if I flip over, just bear with me. It'll come back into English in a moment. So sometimes, I don't know, I feel more of an anointing in Spanish. And we will also be in Baja together with one of our Baja mission trips. Now, you got to know that we say Baja. I probably won't say this on a Sunday morning. It's Tijuana. But we don't say Tijuana because that sounds like real dangerous. You know, like if Nashville was a dangerous place, we wouldn't say Nashville. We would say we're going to Tennessee. You know, so we're going to Baja. That's the state. And it's actually Baja California Sur, south. So you go San Diego and then go south. But we've got a couple churches there that we are going to be working with. And I'm in contact with pastors from Latin America probably, you know, daily. I thank the Lord for Skype. And now you've got WhatsApp and you've got Messenger. And I've heard now with the Facebook Messenger, you can do conference calls. That's the newest, latest, greatest thing. So I'm excited to try that. But we have a weekly Skype call. We call it discipleship that we do. So we gather people from Dominican Republic, from Peru, from Colombia, Bolivia, Mexico, even the Republic of Texas, if you didn't know. That's also part of Latin America. I just want to clue you in. There's more people that speak Spanish there than English. Just saying, you know, California, we didn't cross the border crossed us. And so, and I didn't know years ago when I was about a sophomore in college, I talked to the pastor of the church that I was going to and just didn't know if I should continue on with my engineering degree or if I should go in to go back on the farm and milk the cows in southern Minnesota, what I should do. So I talked to the pastor and I said, hey, I don't know, what should I do? And he asked me about my call, you know, future, and I kind of mentioned ministry, evangelism, and he said two things. He said, public speaking classes are good, and then foreign languages are invaluable. And then I found myself in a Spanish class. Didn't really know that 35 years later there'd be over 55 million Hispanics in the United States, that like what Pastor Bruce was saying, from Argentina on south, you know, Spanish is what really flows. So it was more the sovereignty of God in my life that, you know, he led me and directed me in that way. Of course, I've been cheating for 25 years as well, with my wife being my personal tutor. She used to sit on the front row when I would translate for other people. She was not taking notes on the content of the message, but on all my mistakes. So I have really no option but to speak fluent Spanish. I've been corrected, I think, by everybody in my house. So anyway, let's get into the Word here a little bit. We're in a series on grace. Pastor Mike Cantrell talked a couple weeks ago, and there have been previous messages as well on grace. I'd like to get in a little bit of the definition of grace. Eventually, we're going to get to the book of Galatians. But let's look at some things about grace here. If we can help me out in the back there. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So the grace of God is God influencing your heart. Now, I know in the world that we live in now, there's been some winds of doctrine. There's been some different teachings about grace. But let's talk about what grace is and what grace is not. If you want to just keep it up there, keep it. We're saved by grace. We can go ahead. We're saved by grace. You know, even Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, not because of works, so that no one can boast. So we're saved by grace. We're also justified by grace. One of the scriptures that we use a lot in our evangelism is Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you look at that in context, the next verse, verse 24, says, being freely justified by his grace. We're justified by his grace. It's important that we find out what grace is, what grace is. Now, grace is, let's look at the next one, justified by grace also. Not only justified by grace, but we reign in life through grace. Romans 5:17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. How many of you know that you are, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are called to reign in life? We are called to be overcomers. We are not called to be the overcome. We're not called just to kind of drag our feet in on Sunday mornings and, oh, pray for me. The devil's beating me up again, and I just got so many problems. I just need help again. And then you guys are the faithful ones. I'm hoping it's not just because you just need that extra little injection of you just because you can make it till Sunday again. But we're called to reign. Reign with Christ Jesus in on the other side. But I believe we're called to reign here. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. But even in the midst of all these things, if we've received the grace of God, we are called to reign in this life. We're not called to be the overcome, but to be the overcomers. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Got a little bit of excitement here. And I'm trusting there's some people online that are watching. They're getting excited a little bit too. We receive spiritual gifts through grace. Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. And then Romans 12 goes into those gifts of exhortation, gifts of leadership, gifts of mercy. It's the charisma. Even the word grace is charismatic. That's where we get that from. So you've got something. If you've got something from God, that's what it is. We're strengthened by grace. 2 Timothy, Paul tells his spiritual son, he says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then after that, he says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, then it's a disciple. But you have to be strengthened by grace first. We grow in grace. Even the Apostle Peter said, grow in the grace of God. So that means if I've got a measure of grace right now, I can grow in that. I can grow to even greater measures of the grace of God, something we can grow in. That's a little bit, I'm looking at grace is such a deep subject, and we've been doing it now for I don't know how many weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. We had a break for the new NLI graduation last week. But there's so much we can talk about in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction because, like I say, there has been some winds, some teaching, some doctrine of some things. And if I say first what grace is, and now I want to get into talk about what grace is not. Grace is not a license to sin. Sometimes, well, God's grace, we're under grace, we're not under the law, so, even with... Really, the true grace of God, if you've really experienced the grace of God, Titus chapter 2 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. If you've really experienced the grace of God, there's something that has changed you. I can remember years ago we were helping to plant a church in El Salvador, Central America. And this one person said, yeah, so-and-so, they've accepted Christ. They're a drug addict, but they accepted Christ. And I had to say, just a minute. Un momento, por favor. Just hold on. Because if they've accepted the Christ that I know, the Jesus that died for my sins that rose again, sometimes it was, he accepted, there's got to be a change that has happened. We can say he was, past tense. I could talk about all the things. No, I know we've got struggles, we're all trying to move forward, everything like that. But if we've really accepted the grace of God, that grace of God teaches us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly in this present age. You could go into the book of Romans and you'd see Romans chapter 5 that talks about, we're saved by grace and Abraham, the great father of the faith. And then chapter 6 starts out then saying, where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Then what, are we to sin so that we can have even more grace? By no means. By no means. The true grace of God sets you free from that slavery, that addiction, whatever it is. That the good news is, that if you look inside and you see there's areas that still need to be conformed to the image of Christ, the good news is that the grace of God is that transforming power in you. The grace of God also, the grace of God is not permission to be lazy. Well, I'm saved by grace and it doesn't really matter what I do. It's all on him. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. I just love this one. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So whether it is I or they, we preach, and so you believe. So if you think that the grace of God is just, I'm saved by grace, and I'm just going to hang on till the sweet by and by. And I don't have to get involved in church. I don't have to help in the children's ministry. I don't have to help in the ushers because it's all by grace. And I'm just, let me tell you, if you've met the beautiful Jesus that I know that a week before I received Jesus, I was going to go to the Bible study at Frontier Hall at the University of Minnesota. For some reason, I just couldn't get into that dorm room. It was like four dorms. Each of them had about 500 people. I lived in one. The Bible study was in another one. And so I tried to get in. I don't know. The hallway was locked. I couldn't get in. So I go back to my dorm room. And the people there, they said, hey, today's Tuesday. We have to celebrate. Let's go to the bar. Any excuse will do. So we went to the bar. We did a little weightlifting. Small weights. And I remember I walked back to my dorm room, and we had to cross a fairly busy street, probably like Old Hickory, you know, like Nipper's Corner type. A lot of traffic. And I can remember a prayer that I prayed, and I said, Lord, please don't let a car kill me, because I know if I die crossing this street, I am not ready to meet my Maker. Some of y'all are looking at me like, well, did God answer that prayer? Well, I'm still here to tell about it, ain't I? He did answer that prayer. Because I knew that in that spiritual condition, I was not ready to meet my Maker. But the grace of God came to me. And he made me pass from death to life, from darkness to light. He transformed me. And so it's the grace of God that causes me to want to be involved. It's not that I'm saved by my works, but because I am saved in appreciation for what he has done, I say, thank you, Jesus. Are you with me tonight? It's the grace of God. Let's get into to Galatians. That's the primary book that I want to use. And I know you could go Romans, but I'm eventually going to get to Galatians chapter 5. Now, you got to look at the book of Galatians, and Pastor Bruce, we might have to, you know, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I've been reading some of the commentaries and study Bibles and everything like that. The question is, when was Galatians written? So that there's two different kind of opinions, and it depends upon where it was written to, the southern Galatia area or the northern Galatian area. We just went into Spanish there. Estamos hablando de Turquía. We're talking about Turkey. But you got to realize that there's no mention of the Jerusalem Council in the book of Galatians. The Jerusalem Council was one of the first council. There were other ones later that aren't mentioned in the book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 15, there were some people that went out. It's different to being sent out. They just went out and told people, you need to be circumcised. You need to fulfill the Jewish law in order to be saved. And so there was some dissension going on, and the apostles decided they needed to go back from the city of Antioch up to Jerusalem to discuss this issue, Acts chapter 15. And after much discussion, it says, long conversation. I imagine it got pretty heated there too. But they came with an apostolic letter saying that we're saved by grace. They put on a few things, you know, just avoid fornication, avoid animals that are strangled, avoid, you know, blood, that kind of stuff. But they said it was a major moment right there. Is the new Christian religion movement going to have to be just Jewish, or can we accept the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, without them being circumcised and following all the different laws? And the book of Galatians does not mention this Jerusalem council. And so some people say that the silence is deafening as to their preference that the letter was written before the council. People say that was about 50 AD, the letter to the Galatians. I would lean towards about 48, a little bit before, because otherwise Paul could have made reference in the book of Galatians to the council, but he doesn't. And you've also got to look at the council, the book of Galatians, and you'll see there was no introductory prayer. Those letters, they usually follow a certain pattern. You've got an introduction, you've got a body, then you've got salutations. And Paul, in some of his other letters, he says, you know, I want to greet you and grace to you. And he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He tells the Philippians, he tells the Romans, I desire to see you to impart some spiritual gift. He tells the Ephesians, I thank the Lord for you, all this kind. But to the Galatians, he just busts right up and says, what's going on here? He doesn't thank. There was nothing to thank him for. It was so serious. So serious, he just busts right up in there and he just starts saying it like it is. And so you got to consider those kind of things as we look at this letter, that the primary message is our justification by faith, not because of our good works, but because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I bring all that, you know, backdrop and, you know, what grace is, what grace is not. Now, let's get into it. I'm not preaching long. I just had a long introduction. That's all. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses. We're going to look first 1 through 6. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And then verse 2, he says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify to everyone who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. I'm going to get back to that because that's very important. I used to think, you know, when you hear somebody, they're severed from Christ, they've fallen from Christ. We have something in our mind, you know, the preacher fell away from grace. I'm going to get back to that, but just think where, you know, our natural tendency is to think something that the scripture doesn't really make reference to. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away. You have fallen away from grace, for it is the Spirit. By faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. When it says circumcision, uncircumcision, you just have to think the keeping of the Jewish law, or in our context, our legalism, our good works, our human efforts to please God apart from the grace of God. Circumcision, uncircumcision doesn't count for anything but only faith working through love. And we'll continue and we'll jump down to verse 13. For you are called to freedom. There's that other freedom again, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We're going to make another jump here, Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, we're going to get back to that as well. The works of the flesh, the licentiousness, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. He gets into a long list. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, or some verses say those who practice such things. I used to play basketball. I used to practice every day. I always tell people, the older I get, the better I was. And now I might play a little bit. It was different when I would practice. I used to practice sin. Like, what are you going to do on the weekend? And it would basically be sin. I wouldn't use those terms, biblical terms, but that's what I would say. And now if I play ball a little bit, you know, you lose a step. I mean, you do lose a step. You just can't jump as high as you used to be able to. So it's like, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect since receiving Jesus by any means. We've all stumbled, but then what do? Do you stay down? It's one thing to fall and then you stay down in that mud and you just kind of like it. I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to like this. And another thing is you fall and you see these lists of things and you say, wow, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you fall down and you react because the Holy Spirit is teaching you, the Holy Spirit is convicting you and causing you to come back, that's a different thing. Okay, let's just continue. But the fruit of the Spirit, so there is another side to it, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ in you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. It's the character of God. It's Jesus being stamped in you, just like a coin is stamped with the character of George Washington, or now they put Harriet Tubman on the bill, and even the bills are a little bit raised. They put some pressure onto it. The pressure even of the Holy Spirit would cause us to be more like Him. And let me talk about what I want to do is, in the time that we have left, I want to talk about three key words: legalism, licentiousness, and liberty. First of all, legalism. Going back to Galatians 5:4, you were severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. I'm excited about the Spiritual Formations Tuesday night. That's June 7th. Is that right? Because I heard that a code word was kind of spiritual disciplines. You know, even in my life, spiritual disciplines. We learned how to pray in the hour that changes the world. Could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? And then we have these good spiritual disciplines. You know, we talk about prayer and fasting the first Wednesday of the month. And fast. And then the first week of the year, you got to fast. But then we have to be careful. Those good spiritual disciplines can become our means and our mind of our salvation. And then you end up either being full of pride because, yeah, I did fast. Well, I made it. How's it been going? Well, I've been fasting. And I've been praying. I was at the 6 o'clock prayer meeting this morning. Or on the other side, we become depressed because we didn't make it. You know, that bowl of ice cream was really good, you know. I put it in the blender, so it's liquid, so that's still, you know, but I still kind of got, it's, you know, those that legalism can come upon us, that, you know, that desiring to please God, or even in our moralistic mentality, we want by our good morals, we want to add something to the cross of Christ. And it's interesting, if Galatians was the first book written, the first epistle written, which many people believe it was, how quickly that comes into our lives. Even the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, how quickly they had to counter, you know, that false doctrine of the cross plus something else. Which the cross. Jesus said it is finished. His sacrifice was pleasing to God. Now these spiritual disciplines, they're for us. And because I'm saved, I quoted Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not because of works, so that no one can boast. The next verse, verse 10, says you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. But my good works don't cause my salvation, but my good works are a result of, because my heart has been transformed, the spiritual disciplines, I want to be with Jesus. Sometimes it's just a desire that I'd like to spend time in His Word, and then it becomes a discipline. And yeah, you do have to take up your cross, and you come to prayer, you open up your Bible, and the spiritual disciplines are good, and then there's a place where it's just a delight. You know, I find myself driving the car or walking. And there's times I go to Radnor Lake Park and I'm walking in there. And I was kind of glad a couple weeks ago there was not very many people there when I was walking. It was kind of raining and stuff. And I could walk and just even lift up my hands unto the Lord. You know, I'm not very, very apt to put the radio on when I'm in the car. I try to spend time just worshiping the Lord. Now, you want to be careful not to raise your hands when you're driving. But let me tell you, there's been some times in the car where it's Jesus and me, and I just want to, maybe I'm at a stop sign, I just love to just. But how quick do we, I include myself, how quick do we go over to the legalism side? Pastor Mike, 2 weeks ago, he preached on the prodigal son. And we always say the prodigal son, but Jesus started out in Luke chapter 15, he said a man had two sons. The older brother was the one who stayed home. The older brother was the one who was always there. And then he criticized his father, criticized his little brother. If you find yourself criticizing other Christians, check your own heart and see if even if you're projecting what might be your personal convictions and then you project them onto other people. You know, a lot of times we do have personal convictions. That's good. I do a lot of work in Latin America. It's a very Catholic continent. And also there's been a lot of alcoholism And so people, like, when I went to that party, you know, it's Tuesday, got to celebrate. You know, any excuse will do. Next Wednesday, Thursday, you know, whatever you want to do, just go celebrate. In Latin American culture, it's, you know, when they start to drink, they drink to get drunk. And so when somebody comes to Christ, then their personal conviction is not a drop. Well, that's, you know, that's their personal conviction. I'm not saying we should go out and get drunk. We just saw the scriptures here that said drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then what about Jesus turned the water into wine? What about when Paul tells Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach, it'll be good. And I heard a story, I know Pastor Bruce is going to love this one. Heard a story about a German Christian. She was asking about the Christians in the United States. And the question was, are there Christians in the United States that smoke? And the answer is, well, yeah, I think so, it could be, yeah. And she was a Baptist, so she said, are there Baptists that smoke? Well, yeah, I suppose there are Baptists that would smoke. Well, are there Baptist Christians that would smoke? Women? Well, probably, yeah, probably. For this German, it was such a scandal that she spilled her beer all over her skirt. Or the other one where a Latin American went with a European, they went out to eat together. And so the waiter comes along, and the waiter says, hey, what do you want to drink? And the European, you know, I want a bottle of wine. And the Latin American, well, I want Coca-Cola. And the Latin American, he's thinking, you know, they're both Christian, and he's thinking, how can this be? This is sin. This is, he's drinking. But the European was quicker. The European told the Latin American, how can you put Coca-Cola, that poison, into your system? You know, we have these convictions, and it's good to have convictions. But when we start generalizing and passing projecting our convictions onto others, let's just be careful. And then you either criticize other people, you're either full of pride because you do complete with your personal convictions, your spiritual disciplines, or you're depressed because you don't. You know, that's the legalism, that's the moralism. You have been severed from Christ. You have fallen from grace. When I say a pastor has fallen from grace, what does that mean in our minds? We immediately think he fell with his secretary in sexual immorality. He's messing up with the money. But really what the scripture says in Galatians, he's fallen from grace. He's gone into the legalism side. He's trying to be justified by his own spiritual disciplines, by his own good works. Ugly. It's just as ugly. This extreme of legalism is just as bad as this other extreme of licentiousness. This is the younger brother of the prodigal son. This is why, you know, a lot of us come to Christ and we're on this side. You know, the adultery, the whole list of sins. Jesus transforms us. And then what happens is we move towards Christ, and he's starting to transform our lives, and we hear about spiritual disciplines. You need to read your Bible, and you need to pray, you need to come to church, and you need to, and you need to. And then we move over to this side, and then our message becomes, even when we try to share the gospel with other people, our message becomes, yeah, Jesus died for you. If you listen closely to the message being preached, Jesus died for you, but you need to go to church, you need to read your Bible, do your purple book, you need to do all these things. Let's seriously, if you're sharing the gospel, listen to yourself, listen to other people. It's Jesus. When in a couple weeks ago, maybe I'm just preaching Pastor Mike's sermon again a couple weeks ago, you could get it online. A man had two sons. One was the licentious, the other was the legalist. And even Mike, a couple weeks ago, he showed an iceberg. I don't know how you saw it, but I've changed the iceberg just a little bit. Let's look at the iceberg. You know, icebergs, ice cubes, it's about 10% that's above water, 10% that you can see. And I would venture to guess that our hearts, that the sin in our lives may be about 10% you can see. But all the other stuff below the surface, you really can't see. But how many of you know Jesus died for that sin as well? And even the ocean of grace is sufficient to melt the iceberg of sin completely. Everything above the water, everything that you can see. You can see the drunkenness. Oh, I've repented of drunkenness. I don't steal. I don't kill. I don't tell many lies anymore. But if you look down below, you got all this unthankfulness, this lazy jealousy, rivalries, complaining, bitterness, all this stuff on the inside. That's really between you and the Lord. But the Holy Spirit, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will convict you of that stuff. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is not a rejecting of you. It's not a, you know, you're good for nothing. The convicting of the Holy Spirit is, come with me. I want to draw you in closer. I want to sanctify. I want you to be more like me. The liberty, licentiousness, legalism, liberty in Christ Jesus. And for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm. And we do have to stand firm. We have to discern between the licentiousness. Is this just giving into my flesh? Or is this legalism? Or is this liberty in Christ? Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity to the flesh, this licentious side of just, well, we're saved by grace. I'll just do whatever I want to do. But through love, serve one another. The grace of God. I believe that the grace of God has appeared to all men. The grace of God is even here tonight for us. If you've been on this side of the licentiousness, just giving in to whatever the world would say, or maybe you've gone over to this side and your spiritual disciplines have really become a burden for you, if you haven't walked in the freedom. If we would just stand, I would like to pray that we could come back to the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you know where everybody is. You know exactly where we are. And I thank you that your grace is sufficient. Your grace will teach us, train us to renounce ungodliness, to live upright, holy lives in this world. I pray for those even who their spiritual disciplines or their personal convictions have been projected onto others, even back onto themselves, that we could draw closer to you. Jesus, that you would be beautiful in our lives, and as we see you for who you are, that we would be more transformed into your image as never before. God, I thank you. I honor you. Let's just wait before the Lord just for a moment. Let him speak to you. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit knows exactly where every person is, knows exactly what you need. If you've never given your life to Jesus, he's a beautiful Savior. Maybe you've heard about Christianity, the church, and you've heard a bunch of rules and regulations, and you've heard about what you have to stop doing. Those things that we stop doing, those are things that really are killing us. The wages, the payment for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's an abundant life, and it's an exciting life. So whether you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're watching online tonight, or maybe you have, but you've drifted over, and you've fallen from grace because you've gone into a works mentality, a performance orientation. Let's come to Christ. Jesus, you're our Savior. You're our Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Just let him minister to you. Let him speak to you. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to people right now. Even some people at home, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Thank you, Lord. We can be free in you. Thank you that the ocean of grace will overcome the iceberg of sin. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Let's give it to the Lord. You want to come on up? Dismissal prayer. If you have any prayer requests, if you need any ministry, anything like that, you want somebody just to pray with you, you want to find out more about following Jesus, we invite you to come forward. Our prayer team, our ministry team will come forward as well. Any other closing?
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. Wasn't that great? Well prepared and really enjoyed it. Very rich. Got me thinking again. Don't forget, Tuesday, June 7th, we'll be doing that seminar. We didn't tell you about this earlier, but for those that would be interested, the next 3 weeks on Tuesday evenings, we're actually going to do a life group for anybody that comes to the seminar and is interested in going deeper into what we're talking about. You know how it is. You hear something one time, and you know your spirit can leap and agree with it, but it doesn't really become a part of your life. And so we wanted to provide the opportunity to help people walk in this a little bit further. So I love what Pastor Philip had tonight. God bless you again. If you have any prayer needs, feel free to come forward. And if we could have some of the ministry team come down as well. Have a good evening. God bless you online.